So I'm going to encourage you to take out your message notes. You'll notice that we're going to take a short break from our study of the book of Acts. We've completed the first 10 chapters, and it's only taken us, 10 years? But at any rate, but we are in a process. During my devotions, I have been wandering around in several books of the Bible, and I found myself laboring quite a bit in the book of James. James' letter to the dispersed church at that time has an awful lot of practical information for those of us that are living in the 21st century and what to do to help ourselves to live lives that we really want to be successful at. So I encourage you in your own time with the Lord, your gnosko time, that maybe you'll spend some time and let him speak to you there as well. I just want to bring to you this morning a few verses out of the book of James and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. There are three mistakes that we make when we face the future, and this being the first month of a brand new year, I thought what the Holy Spirit was showing me would be helpful to some of you, because it certainly was to me. How many of you here have never made a mistake? Well, I'm the only one? So this will be good for you. It was certainly good for me, because the mistakes that were pointed out, I've committed all of them. It's been a while now, because I've been being told about this for a long time during my gnosko time with the Lord, and he has graciously been helping me through God the Holy Spirit, who he sent to come alongside, to be a helper, the teacher, and the guide, and I enjoy that so much. So as you look at your notes, you'll notice I've put in the beginning those three essential questions that I encourage you always to be thinking about as we're moving in the Word of God, and to be asking yourself, so that the Word of God, hopefully, as it does for me, it comes as it's supposed to. It's alive, it's active, and when I find things that he's saying to me by way of encouragement or by admonishment, it comes with his authority. So I hope that you will memorize those questions as we study along in the scriptures together. So I asked the question there, have you made these mistakes? And you're wondering, well, I don't know. I haven't read the passage for a long time. Or maybe you've never visited this particular passage in the book of James. So we're going to discover what they are together. He says, come now. And as you read it in the Greek text, he's saying, now listen, listen. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Where James is identifying this entrepreneur. He's a go-getter, and it sounds like he wants to go and make a lot of money. Verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist, a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Would you tell them I'm not available? As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is paneros. All such boasting is evil, it's wicked, it's malicious, it's malignant. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, or for her, it is hamartia. It is an offense to God. So if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, then you're sinning. The fact is this: to be human is to live your entire life without knowing the future, other than you will probably pay taxes just a couple months from now, and I don't know when you'll die. But those are the only two things I think are for sure. The only one who knows the future is Father God. He is not only all-powerful, therefore omnipotent, but also all-knowing, omniscient, and omnipresent, ever-present. He is above and outside of time. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, and we are not. Therefore, we can't know what tomorrow will bring. But knowing that we don't know what the future is, that often creates within human beings, people, an unnecessary anxiety and stress in our lives. What is 2021 going to be like? If I have my job, will I keep it? If I don't have my job, will I get it back? Will this pandemic end? Recent surveys have shown that 66% of the people who are surveyed are fearful of the future. 66%. Question I have there for you: what group are you in? The 34% who are not fearful, or the 66% who are? Be honest as you answer the question. Fear has always been part of the human experience. Even in biblical times, people struggle with the uncertainty of what their future may hold. Thankfully, here in the text that we're going to look at in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, it teaches us how to avoid the three most common mistakes people typically make about their future. Mistakes that you and I have made. I'm pretty certain that I can include all of us in this. Mistake number one, here's your fill-in. We plan without asking Jesus. Mistake number one. Read it with me aloud. We make plans without asking. Okay, thank you for the five of you, and I'm going to try to get the other 40 of you to join me, okay? We make plans without asking Jesus. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? I believe we do it because we've lived in the flesh, making our own decisions, going our own way for the majority of our lives. And from the time that we came to faith in Christ, we still war with this flesh that is not saved. We are told in the letter to the Galatian churches, our flesh is at war with our spirit. And so here we find ourselves, at least I do, I find myself very easily slipping from living in the spirit to being right back in the flesh. Not giving any thought whatsoever to a decision I'm going to make without first having run it by Jesus. At a glance, the plan James describes here in verse 13 does not sound like it's out of the ordinary, does it? I mean, listen. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Which one of us haven't just thought about something we want to, well, I want to go to a Dodger game. I want to go to the, watch the Lakers. I think we'll just go to the beach. Was there any thought in your Gnosko time where you talked to Jesus about the sports game, about going anywhere to another geological location? Most of us don't. And that's because we're still supporting this flesh that we live in, rather than having copious amounts of time with the Holy Spirit in what we call the Gnosko time, getting to know Him deeply, personally, experientially. James is describing a person with a thoughtful business plan. And I don't think any of us would disparage this businessman putting together a plan as to what he's going to do and go and make a living. But the book of Proverbs has something to say to us about what this entrepreneur's decision is. We see here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it famously says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with your heart, your emotions, your intellect, your discernment. Do not depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your way of thinking, your way of perceiving the world, what you know. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will. Seek God's will in all you do, and He will show you which path you are to take." You know, God is saying, look, you do this, and I'll remove all the obstacles out of the path that I will show you. I will smooth the way for you to be able to go to where you need to go. It will be an appointed goal for you. But how many of us really take this passage to heart? It's one of those that is often taught in Sunday school, I'm told, because I didn't grow up in the church. It's one of those passages like John 3:16 that are automatically memorized by many, many people in the church, but it's rarely ever followed, because Christians find themselves living in the flesh as opposed to living in the Spirit. Instead of being full of the Holy Spirit, they still find themselves sliding over here and living and being full of the flesh. Consequently, they feel this war that the Spirit talks about in Galatians 5. It's important to have a strategy, is it not, with regard to life? You know, we shouldn't be like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, he takes out his bow and his arrow, and plink, he fires his arrow off, and it hits the ground, and then he goes over and draws the target circle around it. That's how a lot of us live our lives. People make fun of me because I have already made plans for this year. And where are you going to go on your vacation this year? I haven't decided yet. And then when you finally do decide, your boss says, no, I can't let you off then because you didn't give me enough time, you know, to fill in the place for you.
Well, heck, you know, what a crummy boss.
Yeah, give the guy or the gal a break. Some people have, they just can't make up, you know, all of life is, I'll do what I'm going to do and when I do it. And you'll know when I do it. And you'll know while I'm doing it, because I'll be on Facebook. I don't care what you're doing. Good thing I'm not on Facebook. So we make plans without asking Jesus. But this entrepreneur in the passage before us is missing something. Did you notice what James was saying? He says, you will notice he did not mention Abba Father at all in this plan. Nowhere do we find Abba mentioned. It's all on his own self-reliance. And isn't that what so many of us do? We didn't talk to the Lord about what we're going to do. Four times he mentions what he and other people will do, but there is not a single word in here with regard to this has been approved by the Lord for me to go and do. I know a lot of people like that. You probably do too. You may be one of them. I know leaders like that. And as I said, I've made this mistake in my life, not just once, but many times. I know pastors then who have done this. They plan like Father God doesn't exist. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Action step, two of them. The first action step, here's your fill-in. If you want Abba's blessing, you need to involve him in your planning. Involve him in your planning. Relationships are the glue that hold life together. So as we've been taught and as we've been encouraged and as we have been pushed by the Holy Spirit to habitualize a gnosko time in each of our lives, out of want, not out of duty, but out of want. I want to talk to the Lord. I want him to speak into my life. I don't want to do things that are going to fail because I didn't check with him. And he would have given me a different path that would have been successful. But as we find ourselves coming to the Lord on a daily basis, spending time with him in this gnosko time, getting to know him very deeply, personally, we will be able to discern from the Bible and from the context of our life with him if we are moving in a good, a right, the direction he would want us to move in. So we need to involve him in our planning. Action step two, as you look toward the future of your life, as you are looking towards this year with your family, as you are considering all of life, your family, your work in the church, your ministries, do more than just plan. Pray. Pray. That's what takes place in so much of our gnosko time. We need to pray. We need God's plan. You know, someone told me years ago, and it's come up recently. They said, if you want to hear what God thinks about your plan, Ron, just tell him. And you'll hear all kinds of giggling in heaven. It's the plan that we make with him that is going to be ever so successful and one that you can be proud of. So the first mistake is we make plans without Jesus, without asking him. Mistake two, we presume we know what tomorrow holds. We presume that we know what tomorrow holds. Say that with me, would you? We presume we know what the tomorrow holds. I thought for the longest time that my old Ford Expedition, that it lasted 18 years, was going to give me at least another 5 years. I really did. But then, because you presume you know, I had a little fender bender. Now, the fender bender wasn't very much monetarily, but since the car was 18 years old, it totaled it. And my insurance company wasn't going to cover it with insurance anymore. So I'm gonna go, naturally, since I love this Ford Expedition, I'm gonna get a new one. I'm just gonna replace it with a new one because I know so much. I've been driving this car for 18 years. Well, what did I not know when I went out to replace it? They went up $20,000. I can't afford my Ford Expedition, brand new. So, talking to the Lord, obviously, Ron, you need to downsize, and that's okay. So we downsized, and we also downsized $20,000, and got the Ford Explorer. We presume we know what tomorrow holds. The sun came up this morning. It's going to go down this afternoon. It'll come up tomorrow morning. It's going to go down in the afternoon. We presume we know what the tomorrow holds. James writes here in chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, yet you do not know what tomorrow brings. And obviously, we don't. We think we have maybe some plans, but we really don't know what tomorrow brings. He says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We've all seen that before. We've seen the fog coming up from the ground, maybe when you got up early in the morning to go for a walk, and by the time you got back, it was all gone. It was gone. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. My observation in your fill-in here is James goes on to say in verse 16 that presuming to know the future is a form of arrogance. Arrogance. Verse 16, as it is, you boast in your alazonia. You're boasting in your alazonia. That's better than arrogance, right? Alazonia means to brag. It's a self-centered kind of bragging. It is, we need to get rid of this bragging and replace it with God-honoring trust. We need to go back to that passage in Proverbs that we need to look to the Lord in all things. This pretentious pride, this arrogance is what we need to step away from. We all know people that are know-it-alls in our lives. Maybe you've thought like, I'm the know-it-all. Trust me, I know a whole lot less than I know. It is good to say that you are proud of what Father God is doing in your life. I'm pleased that I'm not where I was a year ago, spiritually speaking. I'm pleased that he allowed me to go through a very terrible, very bad morning with Kathy, because it drove me back to the scripture and to come and to confess to my wife what a lousy husband she had that particular morning and how it affected her. I'm thankful that he pointed that out, because I believe Kath will tell you, I've been working very hard and not falling back into that same kind of situation where I hurt her, broke her spirit. You see, bad things that we know that are really bad and sinful, once we get it and go to our Lord in our gnosko time. He can work with me. Therefore, he can work with any kid of his. And he can bring about changes that are pleasing to him and really bless other people who will never have to go through that awful experience that you brought upon that other person. It's good to say that you're proud of what Father God is doing in your life. But the kind of pride here in James 4, 14 and 15 clearly is a problem. If there was anything that 2020 taught us, is that we do not know what tomorrow holds, right? We thought that we could, as individuals in the United States of America, do certain things, and then we wake up and our city government tells us, oh no, you can't. And then we wrestle with that and we decide, okay, we're going to try to comply with the city government, and then the county says, oh no, no, we're over the city, you have to do this. And then we have a governor who tells us, no, 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 I'm telling the other two what they're going to do, and you're not going to do any of that. And on top of that, whatever I tell you to do, I don't have to do because I'm your governor. The fact is, the good news is Father God's love, his agape love, his seeking our best and our greatest good at his expense. Father God's love, goodness, and reliability can be counted on. It can always be counted on. Nothing else in life is dependable other than our Heavenly Father and his very nature. It remains the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and exactly. Okay, you're awake. Did you have a nice rest? So, mistake number one, we are to make our plans with Jesus, not without him. We are to find ourselves here not feeling like we know it all. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And number three is we put off doing what is right. Say that with me. We put off doing what is right. Procrastination is always the wrong way to handle uncertainty. We procrastinate when we know what we need to do, but we do not do it. When I was a little kid, I used to get up early and watch, you know, cartoons on Saturday morning. Did you ever watch Sylvester the Cat and Tweety Bird? Any of you going to admit you're that old? You know, I liked Tweety Bird, because he had a favorite saying, if you remember, you shouldn't oughta do it, but I do it anyway. Procrastination. The fact is, there in your notes, James makes it clear, if we procrastinate doing what is right, it is sin. It's sin. James writes in chapter 5, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him or for her, it is sin. It's sin. We've been told that we are to walk humbly before our God and all other people. But if we don't, somehow in our fleshliness, it's no big deal. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, I just sinned before him. My humility was lacking, therefore I hurt Kathy Fry. My humility was lacking, therefore I said something and I hurt, what's your name, Paizan? Nina. We don't give much thought to it, but we ought to think about that. I just hurt somebody, and the Lord is offended. Therefore, it's sin. It's sin. And how long have I known and tried to memorize all of the fruit of the Spirit and try to go over those every morning and at times during the day, just as a checklist to see if I need to go backwards and ask somebody for forgiveness? I don't think any of us get up in the morning with the intent to hurt somebody's feelings. We can say, well, it just happens. It just happens because we're in the flesh. We didn't have our gnosko time, and we didn't get solidly over here in the Spirit. And since we didn't do that, we missed out on our time with the Lord, and we don't even think about going back and saying, time out, everybody. Staff, I'm closing my door. I'm locking it. Hold any phone calls. I'll be back. We need to not procrastinate in doing what is right, because that's sin. James writes again, just to seal it. So whoever knows what is right to do and fails to do it, for him or her it is sin. The fact is, procrastination wastes your life and misuses your time. If you procrastinate, you will likely miss out on any number, I don't know how many, but any number of golden opportunities Father God has placed before you. Procrastination is often seen in the sharing of the gospel. You're going to spend an amount of time with someone on an airplane. It's you and your new seatmate. And you fly all the way from, well, let's say from Hawaii to the West Coast, or the reverse. That's better yet. And you have that person next to you for 5.5 hours. 5.5 hours. And you never once brought up the name Jesus. You never struck up a conversation with that person to try to get to know them a little bit and then interject the most famous and the most wonderful person in all of the universe, Jesus. Observation. Sin is not just about what you do. It's about what you do not do. Many of you have been talking for years about taking the next step in your spiritual journey. You've been talking about it. You've actually really thought about your DPE. You've heard the Holy Spirit teach that for the last year at least. My direct personal experience. And to cultivate that. And to find how terrific he really is. And to see how he speaks into my heart. And the things he's asked to be, to change. And to show me how together we'll change those things. And we'll be a blessing to Father God. And we'll be a blessing to all these other people around us. Some of us guys will be blessings to our wives. Some of you gals are going to be blessings to your husbands as never before. Some of our kids are going to wonder, did the Martians take my parents and give me somebody else? Some of us have been talking about, I've got to do something to advance at work. So many of us we're all really good at what we're doing, but I need to get a little bit of a cut above if I'm going to get that next promotion. So you decide you're going to go to college and get your baccalaureate or a master's degree in the area that you're working in. So that puts you up there a little bit higher than someone else. Or maybe it's your ministry. You've been talking about you're going to do this last year, but it didn't happen. But now we have this new year. We're in the first month. I'm not too late. I can call together my core value team. I can call them all and see if we can get together at the church and sit 6 feet apart and have a meeting and pray together about what we want to share with one another as to what our team can do going forward into this new year for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Question: why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Make plans with Jesus. You don't know all the things that are going to be happening this year, so look around. Don't ask the Lord to bless what you're doing. Ask the Lord to help you see what He's blessing and do those things. John writes, the apostle, and by this we know, we gnosko, this direct personal experience, we know that we have come to know by direct personal experience Jesus, if we keep His commandments. If, that tricky little two-letter word, we know that we know if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, I know Jesus, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. Whoever says, I have a direct personal experience with Jesus, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. Now you understand, I didn't say that. I'm the mailman, and I had to go through this first before you. He's speaking to all of us. And the truth is not in him or her if we don't keep His commandments. But yet we go around telling people we are Christians. So, action step. Do not put off doing what Abba has clearly called you to do. Don't put it off. Do it. If you're going to go get that advanced degree for something, if you're going to be part of a core value team, get it started. If you're going to want to do something else that requires another kind of certificate, other kind of training, call whoever you need to call and find out if you can get started. I have a relative that wants to be an electrician, and the only person he can work with right now is someone who is not union and someone who is not putting on billable hours for him to be growing in. And he is calling the electrical union every month, and he gets the same song and dance. He keeps checking with these particular companies, and he can't get in because he can't get his apprenticeship started with the union. It's like, but he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it. He's not procrastinating. He's doing whatever he can to accomplish this. And so should we. We need to put off doing what Abba has clearly told you to do. And you'll be successful. This is a brand new year. And great things can be in store for you, but you need to go and talk to the Lord about it. You will never escape uncertainty in life, or any of us who are leaders in the church, or any of you in ministry, if you don't get started. No matter what you will face in this new year that we have entered into, you do not have all the answers right now. You can't. he has them, and it would be a good idea to go spend some time with him. Yet by recognizing and avoiding these common mistakes, you can head into uncertainty with faith rather than with fear. We need to trust in the Lord, trust in him with all of our heart. We need to go to him and seek his will for our lives. Because we might be fighting with him. What I want to do and what he wants done could be two different things. And if I decide I'm going to do it without his okay, I'm just going to have the same kind of trouble I've had in the distant past and not so far away. So long as I do it his way, everything works out okay. Some of us were brats growing up, and some of us are brats as adults. It won't work well. Trust me. Trust me. I've written here something for you that I wish that I had said. I truly do. It's by Dr. David Jeremiah. So as I read it, it's his words, but trust me, they're coming from my heart as well. I'd like to help you sincerely grow spiritually. I'd like you to grow closer to Jesus, the beloved Son, the everlasting Lord, the promised Messiah, the sacrificial intercessor, the compassionate servant, the powerful provider, the trusted teacher, the great I am, the selfless Savior, the worthy King, and my best friend. Family, I really want him to be yours too, if he isn't. I want that for you in the most sincere way. I want him to be your very best friend. I want you to be able to say to people, you know, I can't go to that ball game. I've really been remiss. Those 3.5 hours at the game and the hour going and the hour coming back, I'm going to spend with the Lord today. I'm going to make up time with him. I really want him to be your best friend. Father, thank you so very much for pointing out mistakes without bringing condemnation upon us. Thank you for pointing things out that need to be corrected and telling us how to correct them with your help. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you will never forsake us and you're always there to help us. We just simply have to decide we want your help and to increase that wonderful deep experience with you. Father, may this happen in this new year. May gnosko be a term that we all come to know and embrace and share with others as to how great it is to know you deeply, experientially, intimately. So Father, as we consider the mistakes we've made and what you're telling us as to how best to plan in the future, may this happen for your glory. May we bless your holy and righteous name in obedience. May it be true of us when we say that we have come to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we find ourselves more apt to be keeping your commandments. Not because your commandments bring us salvation, but your commandments, when kept, they help us stay out of trouble. And they build us up to be more and more like your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.